Well, good morning. I want to spend our time together this morning in the Psalms as we have been the last few weeks. We've been exploring, considering, meditating on these various expressions of trust and praise that you see throughout the Psalms, these rich images that are depicting the psalmist's deep commitment, dependency on God, as well as his deep desire for God. This is these phrases where you'll see throughout the Psalms, the Lord is my... And you fill in the blank. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my glory. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my exceeding joy. And so we've been just trying to walk through some of those images and so that we can develop deeper faith and trust in God and so that we can develop more elevated praise of the Lord as well. And as we explore these expressions, one of the things we're seeing over and over, that it's not just that the Lord gives us certain things, but that the Lord is these things to us, right? That the Lord is both the source of blessing and is himself the blessing. That the Lord is both the giver and is himself the gift. Last week we looked specifically at the expression, the Lord is my glory. And we walked through and just thought through how we struggle with pride and how we struggle and just so often find ourselves in the place of seeking this glory that's apart from God, whether we're trying to seek praise or glory from people or whether we're just trying to claim glory that belongs to God. But then we looked and considered just something that's just so amazing that here is God, who is creator, who is king, who alone is worthy of all glory and honor and dominion and all these things. And yet you look at him and he wants to crown us with glory and honor. He wants to share his glory and be our glory. And that he's worked from the beginning to end, his purpose and his work has all been about sharing that glory with us. And again, that's just amazing. And so from that we learn we need to just be people who say, all right, the Lord is my glory. This morning, what I want to do is look at this expression, the Lord is my inheritance, and think about what's unpacked in all that. So if you would, open back up to Psalm 16. I'd like to read that again with you, walk through it, and then we'll focus on the particular expression. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to Yahweh, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who bartered for another god will not be multiplied. I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Yahweh is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless Yahweh who's counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I've set Yahweh continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You'll make known to me the paths of light. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. Psalm 16 is an incredibly rich, God-saturated psalm. It's a lament, right? It's a cry for help in the midst of life-threatening danger and difficulty. But you think about being in a situation like that, it's striking that this psalm only has one request, right? At the very beginning. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. If I were in a life-threatening situation, I think I'd be much more inclined to just permeate the whole psalm with, my whole prayer with, help me, save me. But he begins with this urgent cry, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. And every other line in the psalm is some expression of commitment to Yahweh and confidence in Yahweh. You think about that, that's where we all want to be when we're in crisis, right? I mean, that we can be in this place of just security and confidence and trust and praise and rejoicing in God, committed to him, confident in him no matter what happens. But we recognize we're not always here, maybe not often here. But so this psalm helps us see, okay, this is what you can be, this is what your faith can look like in the midst of crisis. And so the psalm opens up again with this cry for help, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. And then you just see him walking through his commitment. First, it's the commitment to the Lord. You are my Lord. I have no good besides you. Then you see his commitment to his people. As for the saints of the earth, they're the majestic ones in whom my soul delights. On the other hand, he's not going after, running with the idolaters. He's not putting his trust in idols and engaging in that worship. But you see him saying, my hope is in God. He is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. And then you see this almost nighttime meditation and praise. I'll bless the Lord who's counseled me. My mind instructs me in the night as he reflects on how God's word has just become a part of him and how that's there to guide him and nurture him and sustain him in the midst of all this difficulty. But then you see again renewing this statement of confidence. I've set the Lord continually before me, and so I won't be shaken. Right, I'll be secure. And then amazingly, you think about how this psalm ends. Rejoicing, praising, right? It's like we completely forget that he's in this life and death situation, right? But he's saying, no, I'll rejoice, I will praise, even if I die. You won't abandon me there. You won't leave me alone in death, but you'll deliver me. And all I look forward to is joy and blessing in your presence and in your life forever. It's a beautiful, beautiful, amazing psalm of again, confidence in God, joy in God, praise in God in the midst of crisis. But I want to focus this morning particularly on verses 5 and 6. So go back to verses 5 and 6. Yahweh is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. So inheritance, lot, lines, pleasant places, heritage. I think, what does that have to do with anything? Or how does that connect to us in any way? But think about how all those terms connect to Israel's inheritance in the promised land. And so what he's doing here is painting a rich picture of, again, the blessing or the promise of Israel inheriting the land, and in particular, his own inheritance in the land. And recognize that the land was this tremendous blessing to Israel, is this significant part of God's purposes. And I've got to say, you know, of all the key themes throughout the Bible, this is one I struggle to dial into as much and really grasp, I think, the significance of the land and the promise of the land. But what we see, and at least some things that I know we can see, is the land was promised by God, right, to their ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this goes back to the very beginning of who Israel was and what they were in the Lord. And then the land was given by God under the faithful leadership of Joshua. And then the land was divided and distributed to the various tribes and families, and then passed down from generation to generation. But when you really stop and think about, okay, what was this land promise? What was this land blessing? One is we see, okay, here's an image of rest, right? So to receive the land, here's this image of rest. God told Moses in Exodus 34, he said, my presence will go with you into this land, and I will give you rest, right? And so going into this land, receiving this land, God being with them, it was about rest. Rest from their harsh slavery in Egypt. I mean, imagine as a people, your identity is as slaves and harsh, cruel labor as slaves. So it's rest from slavery, rest from their wanderings in the wilderness, and rest from just enemies in general. In Deuteronomy 12, he says, you've not yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which Yahweh your God is giving you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which Yahweh your God is giving you to inherit, he gives you rest from all your enemies so that you live in security. Right? So again, it's this picture of rest. Rest from slavery, rest from wandering in the wilderness, rest from enemies. So a picture of rest. It's also a picture of security. Right? Security in the present and security in the future. Think about what the land promised the people or what the land provided for the people. One, a home. Right, home is where we're secure, but also a livelihood. Right, it was by being able to cultivate the land and to glean from the land that you would have a livelihood, and so it meant economic stability, future security for my family, for my community, for my whole nation, my people. And then, as we read just a moment ago, security from my enemies, that I would have this place where I'd be secure and I'd be safe. And so you see rest, you see security. You also see prosperity and abundance. This was the land flowing with milk and honey, right? Listen to another passage in Deuteronomy. God gave them great and splendid cities which they did not build, houses full of all good things which they did not fill, hewn cisterns which they did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which they did not plant, from which they would eat and be satisfied. And so what you see is God gave them this land of abundance and of prosperity. And then finally, so rest, security, abundance, and we could just use this catch-all term, blessing, right? That this was the blessing from God to receive this land. Because what we see when we read the blessings and cursings, the ultimate curse was exile from the land, right? So again, rest, security, abundance, blessing. That's the image, right? But again, notice what David's saying. He's not saying that the Lord just gives me my inheritance in the land, but that the Lord is my inheritance. David uses images of Israel's inheritance in the promised land to describe God himself, right? The land means rest, security, abundance, and blessing. God, even more so, is rest, security, abundance, and blessing. Listen again carefully to what David says. Yahweh is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful for me. So as we try to grasp that picture of what the land meant to Israel and what the land would have meant to David, see what he's saying here is, God, that's who you are to me, right? You are my rest. You are my security now and in my future. You are my abundance. You are my blessing. In Christ, we have several rich images that depict our hope, right? Eternal life, resurrection, the redemption of our body. And for those of you who are in a body that aches, that's one that you would cling to. The idea of reigning with Him, the idea of new heavens and new earth, the scene of the messianic banquet, right? To recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And so all these various images that we have of our hope, of what the ages to come will be, but one thing we do need to see is each of those images is important, right? Each of those images helps us get a better grasp and a handle on God's purpose and what our hope is. But at the center of it all, right, all those various images, and I just gave a few, but all those various images to help us see, okay, this is what the ages will be like. This is what eternity will be like. This is what it'll be like to be in God's kingdom. At the center of it all is the promise of knowing Him and seeing Him, right? We've got to grasp that. Listen to Christ's prayer in John 17. He says, lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you've given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had before the world was. Listen again to verse 4. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. John says it this way in 1 John 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You see that emphasis in John's writings? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. This is our hope, that we would see Him as He is, knowing Him, seeing Him in all His fullness. You know, many of the expressions that we've considered, even in the opening lesson on this series, really revolve around what we have in God now. Especially what we have in the midst of suffering and hardship and just painful circumstances. This particular expression, though, the idea that the Lord is my inheritance, helps us hope, helps us dream of what we have in God in the ages to come. What we have in God beyond the hardship and the suffering of this present evil age. Now we recognize, as Paul says in Romans, the whole creation groans and suffers with the pains of childbirth until now. And we recognize we groan and suffer as well. Now we experience things like persecution and sickness and pain and death. And the Lord's not promised to take away our sickness. He's promised to be with us in sickness. The Lord's not promised to take away our pain. He's promised to be with us in our pain. He's not promised us wealth. He has promised our basic needs, food and water and clothing. But beyond that, he's promised to be with us in our poverty or whatever financial circumstance we find ourselves in. He's with us now, right? That's our security. That's our shield. That's our glory. That's all these things we've been thinking about. He's with us now, and our hope is that he will be with us. We will be with him in the ages to come, knowing him, seeing him, reigning with him. Listen to Revelation 21. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it. Its lamp is the Lamb. The nations walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. They'll bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean. No one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no night, and they will not have any need of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. It's not about mansions over the hilltop. It's about the presence of God. It's about seeing him as he is. It's about knowing him. It's about basking in his light, serving him, reigning with him. So, your homework, okay? Continue pursuing God in prayer. Just, again, you define the timing and the boundaries and all that sort of thing, but just pursue God in prayer. Really work to deepen your trust in him, elevate your praise in him, but be able to fill in this blank, the Lord is my... But this week, I would modify the homework assignment, right? We've had the same ongoing homework assignment for the last 3 weeks. I want to modify just a little bit to say, focus especially on your hope in God. Not that you can't still take that time to say, who is God to me now? But really think about, who is God in regards to my hope? Inheritance was a powerful image for David and the people of Israel, right? Because of the inheritance in the land. Maybe inheritance isn't the word that you cling to or the concept that you cling to. You may use another image or something else to depict that same idea of rest, of security, of bounty, of blessing. Whatever it is, though, find your word to express the Lord is my something to in regards to your hope. All right? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you. You are King of all, Lord of all, Creator of all. And you have done so much to bless us from the beginning to the end. We see the very first act in creation after you made man. Your very first act towards us was that you blessed us. And over and over and over again, we see you working to bless us, restore blessing to us, not only in what you do for us, but what you do with us and through us. And that's incredible to consider. Father, we think now about just the rich treasure we have in you and in your Son. Not just that you give us things or that you that we think in terms of materialism and stuff and even benefits to our own body, but deep down, the knowledge of you, the ability to have fellowship with you and a true relationship with you, that we can call you our Father, that we can be considered your children, even now that we can cry out to you in prayer. But as we long for the fullness of resurrection, the fullness of your kingdom and your glory, that we would see you in your fullness and reign with you forever. God, help us to fix our eyes and our hearts completely on that hope that's to be revealed, the return of our Lord. Not to settle for anything that is less, to follow after things that are so cheap and vain, but to give our whole hearts and our minds and our bodies to you, to grow in our knowledge of you and our love for you, that you would be glorified and honored, receive all dominion and praise because you are worthy. Thank you for your rich grace and your overwhelming love in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing a song that's given us a time to just think and reflect. And if there's anyone here that needs prayers, could use encouragement or just someone to pray for you, pray with you, we'd love